Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Today on the show, we'll talk about some news in the world of Houston restaurants, as well as our meal at a new restaurant you may want to try. To do that, I am joined by my co-host this week. She is the owner of Heights Grocer and Montrose Grocer, Mary Clarkson. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hi, Eric. I'm well. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for doing this. Let us dive right into the news of the week. Topic number one, the Houston Chronicle has published its latest edition of its list of Houston's top 100 restaurants. Mary, I want to talk about this from a couple of angles, but let's just give flowers to the new top 10, starting with number 10, Truth Barbecue, number 9, Little's Oyster Bar, number 8, Chopin' Block, number 7, Credence, number 6, Totemo, number 5, March, number 4, Belly of the Beast, number 3, Casa Emma, number 2, Squabble, and topping the list at number 1 is Aga's. Mary, I spent some time, like an hour or two, looking this thing over. Just in the top 10, there's only 4 restaurants that were carried over from 2024. They are Little's Oyster Bar, Totemo, March, and Truth. And that's kind of been my analysis from the list as a whole, right? There's a new person at the top. Bao Ong is now the Chronicle's restaurant critic. He took over for Allison Cook. And so there's about 20 restaurants that have never been on the list before and about 30 overall that have changed since 2024. Mary, I don't know, start at the beginning. I mean, what do you make of Aga's, the spacious Southwest Houston Indo-Pac restaurant, as the best restaurant in Houston, according to Bao Ong in the Chronicle?
Oh, boy. okay, I do like that we are getting a little outside of the loop. I feel like a lot of times so much attention is paid to restaurants inside the loop. And obviously, we're such a diverse city, such a big city. And I think this is a nice example of highlighting some less obvious choices than in years past. And, you know, I don't think it's not well-deserved. I just think there are so many contenders that could be number one in my book and probably yours. But congrats to them. And I like that the list gets shaken up every year. And I think this is the first year that it's really been Bao's list to run. So having his touch on it, we're getting a little bit of a view of his take on what it takes to be top 100 in Houston.
Right. I think that's all well said. And you know, if I wanted to be maybe even a little bit snarkier about it, you know, there's no better way. There's no better way to show that there's a new sheriff in town than to make kind of an out of left field choice like Aga's and say, and hold this up as the best restaurant in Houston. And it's not that it's not an excellent restaurant. And you know, when I did my list of the top 100 restaurants in 2019, Aga's was certainly on there. You know, I've advocated for it. I thought it would have been a very interesting pick last year for the James Beard Foundation as the Texas representative on the America's Classic list. That's the award that went to Guido's last year, and it's gone to Irma's downtown and some other places in Texas. So it's not that I don't think that Aga's is excellent. It's that the things that I value in restaurants are not the things, like the things that I value the most highly, right? Innovation, comfort, luxury, you know, all of those things in some formula. I don't think of Aga's as necessarily embodying them. So it wouldn't occur to me to say this is the best restaurant in Houston, even though, I mean, there are things that are really outstanding about it, you know, and even though, like when Abbas Tanani wrote his best halal restaurants in Houston list for Culture Map a couple of years ago, you know, he singled out Aga's as, you know, this isn't a rank list, but if it were, Aga's would be number one because it's so essential to the South Asian community, even not just in Houston, but in Texas and even throughout the South, right? When people, when members of that community come to Houston, they all eat at Aga's and they all recognize that it's really excellent. So I'm not disparaging the quality of what Aga's does. It's just that what I value in restaurants, I think if I had to pick my number one restaurant in Houston right now is probably March. Not even necessarily, like not even necessarily it's my favorite restaurant or the restaurant that I would go to most often, but that the ambition of it and the excellence of it and the service and the experience and the way that they take care of you and the way you feel when you're there, that is the best restaurant experience in Houston, in my opinion.
I am surprised a little bit that you said that because I thought you would say what I'm going to say. My favorite restaurant probably is Basso. Like, there's nothing like that in Houston. So,
well, yeah, I think my two favorite restaurants in Houston right now, that like the places that I would go the most often if I had the time and the money and all that, Basso is one of them, and the other one is Milton's, right? And Basso comes in at number 11, which is a good showing for the folks at Basso. Congrats to Basso. And then Milton's, which is in the unranked 75. So on the top 100, but not in the ranked 25.
Milton's is top 25, like all day long. Sorry, everybody. Probably top, I don't know, maybe top 10, top 15, whatever. Milton's goes hard.
I mean, I love the food at Milton's. I love the experience at Milton's. I love the way it looks. I love ability to go to Lee's afterwards. I love the affordable wine list. I love how creative Chad Matson's cocktails are. Like, I mean, that restaurant is Eric Sandler catnip, if ever there was one. And so, like, I could eat there every week. And so, you know, okay, the Chronicle doesn't see it that way. That's all fine. But that's what I mean, right? Like, Aga's is number one. It's their list. They can do what they want. Would I have ever picked Aga's as the best restaurant in Houston? No, I would not have, even though I respect it, even though I think their food is excellent.
I think you need to do your own top 100, for real.
Well, I've thought about it, but you know, Culture Map has to turn me loose, right? Culture Map has to say, we're going to devote the resources to giving you the time to go and eat at all these places and make some decisions. You know, the other thing I want to talk about related to the top 100 is some of the restaurants they removed. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the other thing I did. I kind of went through it. Like I said, I spent about an hour and I looked at the top 100 from 2024. All of these restaurants were on in 2024 and fell off in 2025.
Oh, is Kata Rabada not on here? Someone please explain this to me.
So that Kata Rabada is the big one, but also Blood Brothers Barbecue, Crawfish and Noodles, Himalaya, Killen's Barbecue, and Rosie Cannonball all fell off the list. And like, I just don't know that I see a top 100 restaurant. Like, from my experiences dining in the city,
I'm going to lunch Takata today. It is criminal that they are not on the top 100. Like, a crime has been committed.
Yeah, and I think they really only had three sushi restaurants. Katami is in there. Soto and Montrose is in there. And Kira, the hand roll bar from the Neo guys, is in there. And then I think that's it. You know, and yes, to recognize Katami is the more ambitious, more luxurious. You know, that's a top 15 restaurant. They have that, I think, at 15 or 14. That's all fine. But not to have Kata at all is just, that is not a Houston dining scene that I recognize.
Nor one I want to be a part of. Get out of here. Like, I want to go to Kata right now.
were there any other restaurants that are missing that sort of struck you? I mean, There was one more for me, but I wanted to see if you had any that kind of caught you by surprise.
I mean, Kata was the biggest one for me to not be on there. And then, like, in terms of top 10, you know, versus everything else, I mean, I am a creature of habit, you know this. So, you know, Nobi's for me is always a stalwart. I know Basso was close to top 10, but not quite there. What else? I don't know. I Kata Rabada. Here's one thing that kind of makes me sad. And yes, I am biased because he is a good friend of mine and a friend of yours. But the chef at B19, Michael Hoffman, I think they're turning out some of the best food that they ever have and a lot of creative dishes. And he's a chef that's been at a lot of other restaurants before this. And I don't know. I just wish sometimes that food critics would revisit places that maybe they think, you know, isn't worthy, and maybe they'll be surprised, right? So, yes, I'm biased. I love B19, but I love the food there right now, and that hasn't always been the case. So, you know.
Yeah, I think Brasserie 19 sometimes gets written off as kind of fancy food for rich people. But I do think that you're right that, you know, Michael Hoffman, working with the owner, Charles Clark, has that kitchen in a very good stead right now. And at a time when French food in general is kind of a tough sell in Houston, that Brasserie 19 endures while serving like pretty traditional French fare for the most part. I mean, yeah, you can get a burger and some other stuff that's, you know, a little more American, but
there's Spanish inspired dishes on that menu right now that kind of remind me back of the Catalan days. There's a shrimp dish, head on shrimp dish right now that is insanely good. But yeah, I don't know. I think sometimes people getting written off are worthy of a revisit.
Yeah. You know, the other two that sort of came to mind, and I guess I'll be the guy who keeps banging the drum for this. One is Candente, right? The yes. Tex-Mex restaurant. You know, this is a pro Candente podcast. I've had so many good meals. I've had so many good meals at Candente. I'm so excited for them to open in Bel Air. We just had Michael Sandbrooks on last week to talk about that. So that, you know, Ninfa is on there. That's fine. I think you got a slight Candente on there too. We're still a city that really likes Tex-Mex. And so to have a few Tex-Mex options somewhere, you know, we have so much barbecue on that list and so little Tex-Mex. That just seems out of balance to me.
I feel like they should be almost equally weighted. Like Tex-Mex and barbecue are both equally beloved in Houston. So come on.
Right. Somewhere between 10 and 15% of that list should be Tex-Mex and barbecue, split however they want to do it. Not split how they have it, which is too much barbecue and not enough Tex-Mex. And then the other thing is Funk's Kitchen. And I know I talked about this quite a bit when the Michelin list came out.
Lobster Mountain.
I just think everything they do, the Lobster Mountain is delicious, but kind of gimmicky, but just the way that they could cook all those varieties of seafood so consistently, how popular it is, how enduring it is. Like, I mean, I've never had a bad meal there. And I think it's in a very good version of itself right now. And so, you know, I thought it was Bib Gourmand worthy. I also think August is Bib Gourmand worthy. So not to have it at all in the Chronicle's top 100 is a little strange to me. You know, that was one of the things I had a little fun with, like the restaurants that made the Michelin Guide in whatever form, but didn't make the Chronicle top 100. I mentioned Broad Brothers and Killen's Barbecue and Rosie Cannonball. There's also Anam, the kind of fancy Vietnamese restaurant in Archery Park, Dagama Canteen in the Heights, Brisket and Rice Candente. Late August, you know, we just had that incredible meal at Late August a few weeks ago that we talked about on the show.
That was yummy.
Doing the same kind of creative Mexican food that other restaurants that made the list, you know, Belly of the Beast, Maximo, Cochinita & Co., Casa Emma, a similar style of cuisine is happening at Late August. So, you know, how that gets overlooked, I don't fully understand. And then two of Aaron Bluedorn's restaurants, Bluedorn and Navy Blue, make the list, but Bar Bluedorn and Perseid were left off. And then, of course, similar to Rosie Cannonball, the Chronicle did not include the Marigold Club. And so, you know, you just kind of like, what is the Chronicle prioritizing? What is Michelin prioritizing? I just think, you know, those are sort of interesting things to call attention to.
Publicist versus non-publicist? How about that? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, I had a chuckle to myself because I saw that Kenny and Ziggy's, a restaurant that I love very, very dearly. You know, I think people know my grandfather was a kosher caterer in Providence, Rhode Island. So that kind of Jewish comfort food is very high on my list. It's a major priority for me. So to see Kenny and Ziggy's finally get recognized by the Chronicle, hooray. But the same publicist also represents Rainbow Lodge, which fell off the list entirely. So, you know, I don't think this is about certain PR firms or certain people. If it were, then having enough juice to get Kenny and Ziggy's on, you probably would have also kept Rainbow Lodge.
Heard.
Anything else on this? Because
I mean, being a diplomat.
I could do this, really, we could do this for the whole hour.
We could have so many good chuckles. I think of the top 10, I'm really, really happy about Casa Emma. It's close to Heights Grocer. I bring my staff coffee and pastries there every week. I eat there once a week. Like, I love that place. And I love the casualness of it. And I'm very happy for them.
Yeah, you know, I sort of joked around about the what is the Houston restaurant equivalent of an EGOT. You know, and like, you know, a Food and Wine Best New Chef Award, James Beard, either finalist nomination or win, number one in the Chronicle Top 100, you know, maybe a Tastemaker Award, you know, what however you want to. Casa Emma has come very close, right? Because they're a bib gourmand, recognized in the New York Times, like as one of the 50 best restaurants in America, number three on the Chronicle Top 100. I mean, the success of that concept is just gives me so much hope, you know, because we complain about if you're independently owned and not part of a big restaurant group, if you don't have PR, if you don't do this, you don't do that, it's really hard to make it. You know, sometimes if you just make like really fucking excellent food,
and you're authentic,
Authentic, and you treat people really well, the world will be a path to your door. And I love that they're like a modern Houston success story. It just makes me really happy. I'm also really happy for Squabble, which like every time I go there, I'm sort of like, is this one of the best restaurants in Houston? And I sort of have this like I should eat here more often. And it flies a little bit under the radar. I think, you know, it didn't get in the Michelin guide. Like we gave, like Culture Map gave Mark Clayton Chef of the Year and the Tastemaker Awards a couple years ago. But, you know, other than that, it just doesn't seem like it's ever gotten the credit it deserves. So I'm actually thrilled that Bao and the rest of the Chronicle team like see Squabble with the same kind of regard that I do. Cause I felt like I was a little bit on an island with that. And so, you know, congrats to that whole team. A round of Terry's Martinis for everyone on staff in tribute to their success.
Yes, please. And an Uber ride home.
All right. Anything else on this?
I don't think so. I think we covered a lot of ground.
All right. Let's move on to type number two. Speaking of restaurants that fell off the Chronicle's top 100, Bari Ristorante has claimed the former Tryst space for a new location in the Woodlands. Barry, you're an occasional Woodlands visitor.
Only when I have to, only when I'm being summoned to my dad's house.
What do you think about, you know, we know Bari, this is a kind of fine dining Italian restaurant in River Oaks District. It's got a very kind of CNBC atmosphere. It's very lively. It kind of goes like, it goes well with Toulouse, right? Like you can have brunch at Toulouse on the patio if you're like a group of girls celebrating like a birthday or something. And then you can go to dinner at Bari and not leave, you know, maybe see a movie in between, not leave the district. It's never been one of my favorite restaurants, but I recognize that it's a very good business and that they achieved enough success to buy Georgia James last year from Underbelly Hospitality. So what do you think about Bari coming to the Woodlands?
Sometimes mediocrity is rewarded.
I thought you were playing nice.
I was, and then I changed my mind. welcome to being a woman. No, I like all kidding aside, it will do very well in the Woodlands. It's, you know, my family's had a house out there since the Woodlands was like a baby, like 1978, I think. So my oh my, has the Woodlands come a long way where Amerigo's and the Country Club were the only two fine dining options. there is a lot of, there are the Latin community in the Woodlands is very strong and they like to go out and they like to drink and they like to dine and they like a patio and all of that stuff. I think that will be a big basis of support for this restaurant, as well as all of the corporate businesses. You know, they're right there, walking distance to a lot of oil and gas companies, a lot of law firms, accounting, financial companies. So I think they're going to get, you know, business, corporate, and they're going to get Woodlands residents, and they'll get people. They're close enough to Cynthia Woods Mitchell that I could definitely see people going before a concert, that type of thing. They'll do really well in the Woodlands, honestly.
I think that's right. And I think that they have a plan. Like the press release said, it'll be the Bari menu with some extra steaks, right? Because that's kind of what people wanted. That's what people like best about Tryst. So they'll kind of take their Georgia James experience, throw some of those menu items onto the Bari menu, and they'll just be good to go. And I think it's kind of a no-brainer. I think people in the Woodlands are going to like the atmosphere. They're going to like the service. The food will be sort of good enough. And I think this is going to do just fine.
100%.
All right. And then topic number three, Brian Doak, the owner of Heights & Co., is opening a new restaurant called Lazy Lane in Garden Oaks. a week from today, or a week from the day that we're recording this on Monday, November 24th, the menu will feature pizza, pasta, and dry-aged steaks. Mary, I'm going to say the one thing is that this all sounds a little bit like Brian's former project. Prior to opening Heights & Co., he was part of the group that operated Savor and was there when they opened Patton's, their kind of speakeasy-style steakhouse. So it kind of feels like he's taking some of the things that we all liked about Savor, the pasta program, the pizzas, the steaks, and putting it into a new restaurant. And I think that's probably going to be a pretty smart addition to Garden Oaks.
Yeah, I think Garden Oaks, I think one of the things people can do that is really smart is to go into neighborhoods that don't have a lot of dining options. And I think Garden Oaks is growing very fast. And people, if given a choice, would like to stay in their neighborhood at least some of the time. So I think this is smart. I don't know how much information our phones share, but this morning when I was on Instagram, I got, you know, it was being shown Lazy Lane, and I was like, what is this? And here we are talking about it on the show. The photographs look right. I think they will do very, very well. Yes, it sounds similar to previous concepts he's been involved with in the Heights. But again, I think Garden Oaks is going to be thirsty for some more dining and beverage options. And it's a smart move to go into a not overly saturated market.
No, I think that's right. And I think, you know, we've seen Beau Soleil, which opened in Garden Oaks earlier this year, kind of bring like a, you know, steaks and chops and some French food to that part of the world. And I think that's been pretty well received. You know, I don't criticize it to say that it sounds a lot like Savor to me. I really liked a lot of the things about Savor when Brian was there. And so I'm not surprised that he's taking those experiences and finding a way to apply it in a new concept. I think it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, looking at the menu and kind of reading about it, like, yeah, I'm in. You know, I'll certainly look forward to going there and, you know, we'll report back.
Yeah, I think you and I will both have a meal there. That's a spot that you and I would enjoy going to and seeing what they're doing and see what's happening in Garden Oaks.
Absolutely. All right. And then the ultra rare topic number four. Mary, let's talk about you for a minute. The last time you were on the show, we talked about you opening Montrose Grocer, a new wine shop with a tasting counter next to Catbird's on Lower Westheimer.
Yes.
And in that time, it is now open and people can go to Montrose Grocer. So
yes.
You've been open for a couple of weeks. You opened Halloween weekend. How's it going?
It is going very well. It's still early days. We are, I guess, beginning our third week this week. And it's been a delight to be back in Montrose. I originally had a restaurant in 2012 next to Numbers. And it's been a minute. It's been a few years since I've been in Montrose as an operator. And I miss it. I'm happy to be back. I'm happy that Heights Grocer and Montrose Grocer get to have kind of a co-branding moment where people that go to Heights Grocer but can't have a glass of wine can come here and experience that. We're working on rolling out food in the next week or so. So ham and burr sandwiches, cheese and charcuterie plates. It was an ice cream shop, so we are going to use the soft serve ice cream machine there. And it'll be fun to have a communal place. That's what it's really felt like the last 2 weeks. There's a lot of synergy with Catbird's. Bobby Hugel owns the bar next door and also has Anvil and Refuge nearby. It's truly a walkable part of Montrose, and I think that's what I like most about it.
I got a request from a couple of people. Would you be interested in adding coffee and or espresso to your offerings?
Okay, we will. Oh my gosh. Okay, special request. I think we will do espresso, right? Just like single, double, very European style, simple. I do not really want to be a full service coffee joint. I don't think my staff is interested in that either. Blacksmith is right down the street. Go give them some love. Refuge also serves coffee. Give them some love. Yes, it's something you can have finishing your wine or your, you know, sandwich or cheese and charcuterie plate or whatnot. But I just don't have an interest.
No, I put you on the spot. I like making you squirm. Let me just say, I made my first visit to Montrose Grocery recently. I think the space looks great. It feels good in there. I had a delicious glass of whatever bubbles you poured me that day, and I'm so excited for you. And I just want to say publicly congratulations, because this is a really nice addition to the area.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very happy. I did not expect to be doing this. This was not on the bingo card for 2025. Shout out to Bobby Hugel for making that happen. I am happy. I'm really happy, and I'm the most relaxed I've ever been opening a concept, and it just feels really natural, and I'm incredibly grateful to you and all of our friends that are supporting it. So much gratitude and excited for what this evolves and turns into. We have a lot of records, so there's good music to listen to. We're going to do some fun programming for the end of the year. Beaujolais Nouveau is coming up this week on Thursday, so we'll do a little Beaujolais Nouveau release party Thursday evening, and we'll start to do Docs just opened down the street, which I have not been yet. I know you have. I'm excited to go see that spot, but we're going to do a very, very low-key jazz night on Sundays, probably once a month coming up here soon. Maybe even as soon as this Sunday, we'll announce on Instagram and stuff like that. But just fun programming and being part of our community makes me very happy.
All right. I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurant of the week. Stick around. Mary, for our restaurant of the week, I want to talk to you about Maison Chinois. Mm-hmm. This is the new upscale Chinese restaurant from Lombardi Family Concepts. It is located in the River Oak Shopping Center, right next to Brasserie 19, or sort of in between Brasserie 19 and Zenti Cucina Italiana. You know, Mary, start at the beginning. When you walked in, what were your kind of first impressions based on the decor and the way Maison Chinois looks?
It's fancy. It's really pretty. It's giving River Oaks. It is 100% giving River Oaks. The lighting, so the covered enclosed patio, I'm not sure, maybe you can tell me if that can or cannot open to the outside, but the lighting is gorgeous. Really soft tones. I know this chef partner in this was from Las Vegas, from the Wynn Casino, had a very high-end restaurant there. This kind of feels a little bit like Vegas and not in a cheesy way. It's a really beautiful interior.
I think that's right. You know, it's got, as you said, it's got that kind of closed off patio. It's got the kind of the comfortable furniture. It's got the open, well, the, you know, the glass view of the kitchen. It's a very comfortable room. It feels like an occasion. And indeed, we kind of saw that when we were there, right? Groups of women kind of gathered around dumplings and bottles of wine, having a good time, spending a little money, on a weeknight. You know, I think by that standard, I think it fits right in. You know, this is, you know, when you're in the River Shopping Center, you got to kind of bring it with the design. You know, Brasserie 19 certainly has that. Zanti has that. Cocody across the street has that. So you got to fit in. And I think Maison Chinois does that really well. What were some of your favorite dishes? What did you really like?
The dim sum. I think, you know, you and I both love Chinatown, and like I'll go mess around in Chinatown any day of the week, but it's far, right? So having something kind of closer in to where you and I live is like a nice thing. It's dim sum style soup dumplings, the noodles, all the noodle dishes we had, even simple things like Kung Pao chicken. Like I honestly do judge places off of stalwarts, right? So if you mess those up, then I'm gonna hold it against you for sure. But it was very tasty. The Peking duck for me was probably the highlight. Perfectly cooked, lots of great flavor. I didn't think it was an unfair price. I think it was under $50 for half of a Peking duck for tableside, and how beautiful and full service this restaurant is. I thought, you know, fair.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, I agree with all of that. I mean, you know, we had the lobster dumplings with the caviar on top. We had the soup dumplings. We had the fried pot stickers. We had Peking duck. We had noodles with shrimp. I mean, they fed us quite a bit of the menu. And, you know, I think it's sort of easy to dismiss places like this and go, oh, well, it's not as authentic as Chinatown. It's not this, it's like that. It's not that. It's like, this is sort of elevated Chinese American food with a few more traditional dishes kind of thrown in. And yeah, if you want to drive to Chinatown, you can drive to Chinatown. If you want the cocktails and the atmosphere and the service experience, yeah, you're going to pay for it, right? Like if you go to Maison Chinoise, it's more expensive.
Lots of beautiful people here too. The people watching, very strong.
Yes, the people watching was excellent. I think there's actually quite a bit to like about this. And you know, we were invited by the restaurant. We were a known quantity. They really spoiled us the whole time. So I won't say that we had an objective service experience, but I do think that, you know, this hospitality group at both Lombardy, their Italian restaurant in Uptown Park, and of course Toulouse in River Oaks District, like they have shown that they know how to cater to an affluent crowd and make people feel special and valued. And I think that's going to be consistent no matter who is eating there, us or anybody else.
I sent a friend of mine there with a big group a few days after us, and they had a wonderful time and they didn't know who they were. So it reaffirms that they're going to take good care of everybody that walks in there. They also had a lot of gluten-free options, which was a nice thing.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that really missed for us was that orange peel beef, which is one of those sort of Chinese American staples that I really love. I just think it wasn't prepared properly because it was kind of soggy. It didn't have a lot of orange flavor. It just
missed. Overly breaded. It was overly breaded, and yeah. The batter was too thick. But we had so many dishes there that were very good. One missed. Still early days for them. I would try it again, but I would ask before. Like, is this going to be amazing? Like, please tell me what's.
Yeah, please tell me you fixed this from last time. But I would happily go back for that Peking duck, as you mentioned. I would certainly go back for any of the dumplings that we tried. You know,
I talked about our moms, right? Like, this is a place like you and I both have this weird standard of like, would we take our moms here? And it passes that test. So I think that's a nice compliment too.
Well, and you know, I grew up eating a lot of Chinese American food, and so I have kind of a deep affection for this. And so, you know, my mother, who was sort of griping at me about, you know, I'm kind of bored with my Chinese food options. It's like, all right, mom, here you go. You know, you have to get dressed up a little bit, but I think you'll really like this, you know. And then I guess we should say, like, if this formula sounds a little bit familiar, it reminds me a little bit of what Ben Berg was trying to do at Benny Chow's. I do think that the execution of the food itself is a little better or substantially better at Maison Chinoise.
I think Benny Chow's was like a really beautiful room, probably not the best location for that concept. I think this location, either the River Oaks Shopping Center where this is or River Oaks District, is a place where a concept like this can do very well. And I think they're going to get a lot of attention early days, and it'll be up to them in terms of consistency and quality, whether they're able to you know, keep that momentum. But they're set up for success for sure.
Absolutely. All right. Any other thoughts on Maison Chinoise?
No, sir.
All right. Then I'm going to say that does it for the restaurant of the week. Mary, thank you very much.
You are welcome.
That's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Join me on Thursday when my guests will be Tracy Vaught and Hugo Ortega of H-Town Restaurant Group.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.